The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
We've been focusing on a statement, a phrase, that says that you will only go as far spiritually as your prayer life will take you. And so we've been talking about, why don't we pray more? We need to be praying more. I think we know that. At the first week when we started, a long time ago, a couple of months ago, when we started talking about prayer, I said, raise your hand if you believe in the power of prayer. Everybody raise their hand. I said, raise your hand if you believe that, or if you think that you should be praying more than you are right now. I think every person raised their hand. Then why aren't we? I am hoping that in these last couple of weeks, it has inspired you and helped you to be more devoted to prayer. We need to be people. I need to be a person that is devoted to prayer. We need to be a church that is devoted to prayer. I have a friend of mine. She's from a pretty small town. A couple of years ago, she's this big runner. She loves to run. A couple of years ago, she qualified and she ran in the Boston Marathon. And so she is standing like in line with thousands and thousands and thousands of other runners. And she was a bit intimidated, especially from her being from this small town, and she has people around the world running with her. And she cried out to God while she was in this line. And she just said a simple prayer. God, I need a friend. And right away, instantly, there was a woman who was next to her and turned to her and said, hey, will you be my running friend? Instantly. I mean, it happened right away. And not just that, but it happened to be where both of them had the exact same pace. And both of them were running together. And one didn't slow the other up or speed the other up. I mean, they were the exact pace and in the exact heat. And God provided for her. And that whole time, They were running together. They were talking together, which baffles me because I don't know how anyone can talk and run at the same time. For me, I'm like, I'm just trying to breathe and run, right? And so God provided for her. So we've been looking at prayer. First, we talked about that we believe in the power of prayer. We believe that we need to be devoted to prayer. We believe that we need to have a legacy of prayer. That's who I want to be known for at the end of the day. I want people to look at me and say, hey, he is a prayer warrior. He knows how to pray. Have a legacy of prayer. But yet it comes down to, do you really know how to pray? And the disciples, we've been talking about the disciples looking at Jesus. When Jesus was praying, the disciples were used to this more of a ritual prayer. And they saw Jesus praying out like he was had this intimate relationship with God, calling him Daddy, calling him Abba. And they looked at Jesus and they said, teach us how to pray like that. So Jesus, in the midst of the greatest sermon ever preached, Jesus, in the middle of that sermon, told all the people around them, this is how you should pray. here's an example. And he gave us what we call today the Lord's Prayer. If you know it, let's say it and let's pray this together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we first looked at, and we're kind of breaking down his prayer in different pieces. The first thing we saw is when we pray, we proclaim his name. Why? Because there is power in the name of the Lord. And you are directing your prayer and telling everyone, this is who I am praying to. Why? Because prayer has nothing to do about you. It has everything to do with him. When you pray, you are giving glory to the Creator. You are giving glory to God. And what we notice, I think each of us at times, we fall in this routine or this bad habit where we start praying selfishly. You know what I'm talking about. Where it seems like a lot of our times, a lot of our prayers, we skip over the praise you, we thank you, we skip over all of that, and we go straight to want, I want, I want, give me this, give me that. That's not how Jesus taught us to pray. Because it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with him. We've also been talking about when we pray that God tells us and reminds us every day. He tells us, I hear you. You cry out to him. He hears your prayers and he answers your prayers every time in three different ways. There are times when God answers them, yes. I will provide that. I will bless you with that. There's another time where God might answer it, no. That's not good for you right now. And it might be hard for you to understand, but my will is better than yours. And there might be another time when he might say, not yet. It's not in this timing, not right now. Be patient. But yet, as people, when we pray, so many times we pray almost kind of demanding at times. We want it here, right now, right? We live in that day of age where we want it right here and right now, and we start treating God like that. And we want God to do it right how we want it. And when it doesn't happen, sometimes we say, well, why isn't he listening to us? Why isn't he there? Well, God is there. He's answering your prayer, just maybe not exactly the way that you want him to. When you pray, pray in the name of the Lord and then praise his name. Tell him how much you love him, because prayer is an intimate time between you and your Father. Tell him, speak to him, proclaim your love for him. And tell him how great he is. Why? Because he deserves our praises. And then last week, Pastor Wick had a great sermon of talking about praying that his will be done. And we need to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Today, we're going down to the next line. Give us this day our daily bread. Raise your hand if you like bread. I love bread. I love fresh baked bread. At the camp that we were at, I know that they I think also do it in Arthur around here, but the camp that we were at in Wisconsin, about 10 minutes away, there is this Amish bakery. I think it's almost a sin for me just to go in that place. I mean, because they bake fresh bread and fresh donuts and fresh pie, and they have it out there still warm for you to buy and to eat. Oh, I love it. I love the taste of fresh bread. Put a little butter on there. You could tell I didn't eat breakfast this morning. I'm a little hungry. But I love the smell of fresh baked bread. What is Jesus saying here? Give us this day our daily bread. I think basically what Jesus is saying here is provide for our needs. We need bread. We need food to survive. Give us this day the things that I need. Do you know, I don't see it anywhere in the Bible or any different versions of a text that says it this way. Give us this day our filet mignon. I don't see any version that says that. We're talking about praying for our needs, not our wants. A filet mignon, oh, that would be great. Give us this day our $1 million. That might be a want. It's not a need. Now, I know that we're kind of divided here, and the Cubs and Cardinals are playing here even now. But for me as a Cub fan, give us this day a Cubs championship. Well, that's a want for me, maybe not for you. But those are our wants. Here, what I believe what it's saying is saying when we pray, after we get done with proclaiming his name and all of these things, finally, this is the first request that we kind of see. And it's saying, take care of my needs. Whatever need I have. Just like my friend who ran in the Boston Marathon. I have this need right now. I am afraid. I am alone. I feel like I need a friend. And God provided. Right? Give us this day our daily bread. God, take care of our needs. Take care of the things that are necessary for us. Look at all the ways that God has provided for people in the Bible. God looked at David, and God gave him the provision of courage as he faced the mighty 9'9" giant Goliath. When everybody else was afraid, he gave him courage. Daniel. God blessed Daniel and gave him a provision of protection when he faced the lions. You know the adulterous woman who they were about to stone? God looked at her and gave her the provision of grace. God saw Elijah's need and gave him the provision of rest and strength. God saw Hannah, who was crying out for a baby, and gave her the provision of a baby. He looked at the blind and provided them sight. He looked at the sick and provided them healing. Over and over, he provides. And now when we look at this, when we talk about bread, this isn't the first time that we heard bread in Scripture. Remember the Israelites? They were starving. They were hungry while they were in the wilderness and the Exodus. And they cried out to God, and God provided manna, bread from heaven. How about feeding of the 5,000? Jesus said, well, what do we have? We only have these loaves of bread and these pieces of fish. That'll be perfect. And even when the disciples looked at it and looked at the 5,000 and said, no, this isn't enough. This isn't going to go very far. Jesus said, oh, it will. And he used that bread to feed 5,000 with leftovers. And then we are reminded at this church once a month when we have communion together, the time when Jesus was with his disciples and he used bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body that was broken for you." We see bread often, but God provides. If he provided for all those people, he provides for you. Now, if you have your Bible, I want us to focus on a story, a really cool story. 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 1. You can follow along with me, but I'm going to just tell you this story from Scripture. It's a story of this widower. She had a husband who just died. Back then, widowers were outcasts. When they lost their husband, it was like they lost their name. They weren't recognized anymore. They lost all of their income because their income was from their husband. So most widowers were outcast, were poor, were neglected. Now this widower didn't know what to do. She saw a debt that was ahead of her, and she knew that she didn't have the money to pay it, and she had two boys. Back then, guess what would happen if you couldn't pay your debt? You would have to give your children up to slavery to pay your debt. So here in the story, she comes to Elisha because she didn't know where else to turn. And she tells him this problem. I have this debt to pay. I have all of this money that I need to pay. I don't have any money. I'm going to lose my boys. I just lost my husband. I'm going to be all alone. I don't know what to do. Can you imagine what this woman was going through? She seemed hopeless. So Elisha brought this to God. And I love it here because what this woman, all she could think of was taking this to Elisha. But what Elisha knew is, I'm going to take this to God, who is our provider. And so she took this to Elisha, and Elisha was praying and heard from God and said to her, "What do you have in your home right now?" She said, "I don't have anything. We're broke. The only thing I have is a little jar of olive oil. That's it." So God told Elisha to tell this widower, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to go out in faith, and I want you to take your sons and go out in your neighborhoods, and I want you to collect as many jars as you possibly can." And she's probably thinking to herself, "What good is that going to do if they're empty?" "Collect as many jars as you possibly can, and I want you to take these jars back at home and close the door. And then I want you to take your little jar of olive oil that we know that you already have, and I want you to start filling these one at a time. And once these are filled, then put it off to the side and see what the next one will do." So they went out and they started collecting. These jars, almost in a way, resembled their faith. Because they were probably going out and collecting their jars and collecting as much faith as what they had, and probably thinking to themselves, "I don't know if God can fill this much." But they collected all these jars. We don't know how many, but we knew there were a lot. And they took it to their house, and they're like, "Here goes nothing." And they took this little jar, and they're looking at the little jar, and they're looking at all of these big jars, and they're thinking to themselves, this isn't going to go very far. And so they started pouring, and it kept on coming and coming and coming. And they were amazed where the first large jar was filled to the top. And they took it and they praised God and they put it off to the side, and they started filling the next and then the next and then the next. And it kept on coming and it kept on coming until their last jar was full, and then they ran out. Showing us that God provides just what we need. I don't know this for sure, but I wonder if they would have found more jars, if God would have filled those as well. My guess is he would have. Because it might tell us in the story that we read that maybe God will provide as much as our faith will allow us to. The more jars that we go out, the more jars that we pick up, God's going to provide. So it says in the story at the end that they went and they sold these jars, and they had not just enough to pay off the debt, but enough for her and also her sons to live. God provided for their needs. Give us this day our daily bread. As what her prayer was, give us this day our olive oil. Provide for me. And he will. What are things in your life? What are needs in your life that you have? Some small, some big. But nothing. I want you to hear this. There is no need that is bigger than God. He can provide. He wants to provide. What needs do you have today? My mom always taught me when I was growing up. She taught me, son, never be run by money. Always be run by God. Because God is your provider. He will always provide. That has always stuck with me. From the very beginning when I was a boy, it stuck with me. That every place in life, I am always reminded that nope, I can't be run by money. I can't be focused on money. I am going to be focused on God. If God is calling me and if God is leading me here, guess what? God is going to take care of me. There are many times in our life that we put this to test. There are many times in our life where we looked at our income coming in and looked at what it costs to live, and we shook our head and say, this probably won't work, but God always provided. About a year ago, I don't know if some of you remember, but about a year ago, I shared the story of my family, of how my dad had this secret sexual addiction for years, many, many years, and it destroyed his ministry. He was a pastor. It destroyed his ministry. It destroyed our family. My mom and my dad were separated for 13 years. And he was so wrapped up in this addiction. My dad, a story that I didn't tell you in that, was my dad said that there was this lowest of the low for him, was a time when we were living in Texas at the time. It seemed like this is when all of the stuff got so bad. At this time, my mom kicked my dad out of the bedroom and said, you have to sleep on the couch. So, but they were still under the same roof. And my dad said, the lowest that I ever got was there was a day when we lived in Texas where he snuck into my mom's bedroom and he stole her wedding ring that he gave her and took it to a pawn shop for money to use for his addiction. He said, I've never got any lower than that day. Now, to fast forward many years later, my dad, after he was completely freed of this, God touched his heart and freed him from this bondage, from this sin. He was a new man. He is crying out to God. And he said, God, I know it's a lot to ask, but help me to get my wife back. So he felt God speak to him. And he said, what I want you to do, to remember that wedding ring that you pawned. I want you to find another ring 10 times of what you got for that when you pawned it off. And I want you to give it to her and see what happens. At the time, he couldn't work. He was medically disabled where he couldn't work. He had a lot of heart problems. He didn't know how he was going to get the money. For a year or so, he just started saving as much as he could. And so he only had a portion of it that he started saving after a year. One day, he's at home, and he gets a knock on the door. He opens it up. There is a gentleman that he knows but doesn't know very well that was at the door. And he said, Rick, I don't know why, but I just came from the bank. I'm driving home, and I felt God tell me that whatever the money that I just took out of the bank to drive to your house and to give you this. So my dad got the envelope and started to look through it. And once he started to get near the end, he just started to weep. Because he knew that it was exactly to the penny that he needed to buy this ring. God provided. Now the background of this story. He gave it to my mom. My mom took it and went back where she was going. But while she was going back to where she was going, she was reminded. God reminded her of a prayer that she prayed 14 years earlier. And she prayed, her prayer went like this: God, if you ever want me to get back with him, he has to pay me back of what he's taken from me. And here it is. The ring that he took from you. And when she got back, she emailed all of us and said, I'm coming home. God provides. About 4 years ago, normal day, I hopped in my our minivan going somewhere. And I saw that there was a little envelope there. I think I was cleaning out some of the minivan. You know how it is when you have all these kids and they make all the mess. Okay, some of the mess is from me too. So I found this envelope. I'm looking through, I looked in it, and I saw that there was $270 of cash in this envelope. I'm thinking, where has this come from? This is weird. I'm trying to think, where do we get this? Do we take it out of the bank? Are we holding this for something? I called my wife. I said, I saw this envelope. Where is this you know, where do we need to put this? She said, I don't know about this. I don't remember it. And it was during that time when I heard God kind of speak to me and gave me someone's name and told me, take this envelope and give it to her. So I ran it by Tiffany, and she was like, well, yeah, if God is telling you to do that, you better do it. So I drove over to her house right after God spoke that to me. When I drove over to her house, her and her daughters were just leaving the house, getting into the car. And I said, hey, this was just kind of weird. I found this. And right away, I felt like God telling me to give it to you. And so I gave it to her, and she looked in, and she started counting the money. And again, she just started to sob. And she said, so about 30 minutes ago, I am inside my house praying because I have to take my girls to a very important doctor's appointment. And I have no money to pay for it. And I don't know how it was going to happen. And she said, I was inside. And I said, God, I need you to provide. And what I felt him say is, get in your car and I'll provide. So when they left the house, there I was. And it got to be, what she told me later, exactly the amount that the doctor's office said, this is how much we need. God provides. The scripture says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open. I'm sure some of you probably have your own stories of how God has provided. Maybe some in small ways, maybe some in big ways. Give us this day our daily bread. What needs do you have today? Let's come before the Lord, who promises us that he will take care of us. He will provide for us. Even when we have no idea where it might come from. Give us this day our olive oil. Give us this day the money that I need to pay for this ring. Give us this day the money that I need so I can take my kids to get the medical treatment that they need. What are your needs? Pray. He listens. He hears. Sometimes it doesn't happen perfectly like some of those stories. But he hears and he provides. We see it throughout all of Scripture. Let's cry out to him. Will you pray with me as the band comes? Lord, we thank you for providing for us everything that we have. You've provided. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for providing our needs. Forgive us, God, for coming before you and demanding our wants and thinking too much about us ourselves. But Lord, as we pray, help us to focus on you. And Lord, show us the needs that we have to pray for. Lord, I pray for each person here. And I'm sure that the needs, some are small, some are big. But all of us have different needs. Lord, I pray that we will bring our needs before you. And God, I just pray that you will provide them in the way that you can. Give us this day our daily bread. Ask, and it will be given to you. We love you. I am reminded of a part of the hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness." All that I need, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Help us to hold on to that truth. All that I need, your hand will provide. Because you are faithful. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing these last couple of songs, the altar is open if you just need to come and pray. But let's sing these songs together as we proclaim his name, as we cry out to him. Will you stand as we worship together?
He does love us so much. We need his love so much.